What do you count as food?
I hate the big bears. The little ones aren't as chewy. Sometimes I eat fruit. In the desert, I ate a lot of cacti and scorpions and antlions, Ver said and drooled. He swallowed and stared into Toffle's wide eyes. Those were really tasty. Have you ever tried antlion?
Toffle shook her head. We usually eat a little meat with vegetables, she said in a small voice.
Ver frowned. I'll take you home and feed you lots of delicious things, he said. Grimmy says you can't grow big and strong if you don't eat enough.
Oh, Toffle said and blinked. I look forward to it.
She scratched her head and wondered what an antlion was. But before she could ask, servants brought in plates of food. The two children stepped out of the way as Mina and her husband entered the room, following the butlers and maids. The demon lord was wearing a purple robe with golden embroidery, while Mina wore an elegant white dress and heels.
It's a pleasure to have you for dinner with us, Ver, Mina said with a slight curtsy.
I know, Ver said and nodded. Mina's face cramped.
Toffle nudged Ver.
You're supposed to say, the pleasure is all mine, she whispered. My mom's a stickler for etiquette.
Oh, oops, Ver said and turned to Mina. The pleasure is all yours.
Mina sighed, and her husband placed his hand on her shoulder.
At least you tried, right? Come, let's not worry too much about manners this evening. We're amongst friends, he said,
and proceeded to take his seat with Mina sitting beside him. Toffle pulled Ver over to the table and sat across from her mother while Ver sat beside her, across from the demon lord. The servants passed out the plates, some trembling as they handed Ver his. Ver leaned forward, sniffed the steak in front of him, and poked it with his finger. Mina stared at him, hands white from gripping her utensils too hard. Toffle saw her mother looking like she wanted to stab Ver, so she nudged her friend's shoulder.
You're supposed to use the fork and knife, she whispered,
and made sawing motions with her knife.
Like this, see?
Ver observed Toffle as she cut the steak with her knife before he moved his hands to mimic her. He stabbed the fork into the meat, and a shattering sound resounded through the room. Cracks spread along the plate, causing it to break into dozens of pieces. Toffle's mouth fell open, and her father stopped moving. Mina paled as her hands and lips trembled. Ver tilted his head and shrugged before proceeding to cut the steak with his knife. There was a sawing noise, and a line of gouged-out wood could be seen after Ver lifted the steak.
Honey, don't you think it'd be better if Ver sat on the floor? Mina asked.
Are you kidding me? The demon lord whispered back. It's easy to replace this table, but you can't say the same about the floor.
You can't make Ver sit on the floor. He's a guest, Toffle said. Prim says we have to treat our guests with courtesy and respect.
Mina smiled. Yes, of course. Silly me for suggesting such a thing, she said as her teeth ground together. Please forget I even mentioned it, Ver.
Mentioned what?
Ver asked. He grabbed the rest of the uncut steak, folded it, and ate it in one bite. Mina just stared and shook her head.
Never mind, she said with an exhale.
Her temples throbbed. The demon lord coughed.
So, he said, what did you two do today, Toffle?
We went to the library, and Ver read me stories, Toffle said. Did you know that Ver can read Elvish? All the scribes and librarians sat down to listen, too.
Mina raised an eyebrow at Ver, who was still chewing with his cheeks bulging like a chipmunk.
Really? I wouldn't have expected that.
Ver swallowed, and a huge bulge traveled down his throat.
Nanti says I'm very smart because I ate lots of fruits of knowledge, he said, while nodding.
Really?
Toffle asked, her eyes lighting up.
Is the tree really as big as the stories say it is? What did they taste like? Can you get me some?
Ver shook his head, causing Toffle's expression to dim.
The tree was very big. The fruit tasted sweet, but not as good as bear meat, he said. I can't get you any because I knocked the tree down, so there's no more fruit.
That was your fault?
The demon lord asked. He had received a report saying the Tree of Knowledge no longer existed when he inquired earlier to obtain a fruit for Toffle. His face paled when he recalled what Grimmie had told him. He's stronger than your so-called SSS-ranked adventurers.
It wasn't my fault. It was the tree's fault for being too weak, Ver said and pouted. But I got blamed anyway.
I see, the demon lord said while nodding. Yes, it was the tree's fault. You're not to blame. I completely agree with you.
Ver also told me stories about his home. Can I go visit? Toffle asked.
No, Mina yelled, causing everyone to stare at her. She cleared her throat.
I mean, no, sweetie, you wouldn't want to impose on the dragons. I'm sure they're busy doing dragon things.
Not really. We usually just sleep all day after hunting, Ver said. Although I started reading a lot recently. I think it'll be a lot of fun if Toffle came to play.
I think it should be fine as long as I go with her, the demon lord said and stroked his chin.
Toffle smiled, dimples appearing on her cheeks. Mina's expression softened as she turned her head away from her daughter. She glared at her husband and asked,
Does this have anything to do with that pretty elf lady?
His face reddened. Of course not. It would be rude to refuse an invitation from a dragon, he said. I'm just making sure Toffle stays safe.
Nonsense! What if something happens to you, too? Who will lead the country? Mina asked.
Oh, don't worry about that. Nothing will happen to them, Ver said, and patted his chest, leaving a greasy stain on his skin. Dragon's honor.
12. Toffle peered over the edge of Grimmie's head, balancing on all fours. She was wearing brown leather pants and a woolen blue sweater. Her lips pursed as she turned her head to face Ver.
Will my father be okay? She asked,
and looked over the edge again. Grimmie was stationary, but he yawned, causing Toffle to squeal and crawl over to Ver's side at the center of the black dragon's head. Beside them, Preeka was laughing with Snuffles sleeping on her head.
He should be fine, Ver said with a nod. Grimmie's only dropped his prey once or twice before.
Please don't refer to me as prey, a voice called out from one of Grimmie's claws. I'm frightened enough as is.
The demon lord had thought he would be standing on the dragon's head or back, but Grimmie had snorted and refused.
Not just anyone can ride a dragon, he had said,
and picked the demon lord up with his claws.
Be careful,
Mina said from the city walls. Her face was pale as the dragons spread their wings and leapt into the sky. A scream resounded through the air, but it faded away as Grimmie got further and further away from the city. Mina sighed as she turned around to face the capital. She wanted to stop Toffle from going to the dragon's roost, but she knew her husband wasn't going to yield. He was always adamant when it came to Toffle's future as a demon lord.
Stay safe, Mina thought,
and closed her eyes as her hands clenched the hem of her purple dress. Toffle hugged Ver's right arm, admiring the scenery below.
This is amazing, but a little scary, she said with her eyes wide open. Everything looks so small. Is that a rock? It's so tiny.
Ver nodded.
Do you want to eat it?
Toffle's mouth fell open, and she shook her head. Eat a rock? Rocks were kings of the sky, on the same level as wyverns and phoenixes, which were all second to dragons. The rock noticed the two dragons flying overhead and dove towards the ground, fleeing under the cover of nearby trees.
It's a little chilly, Toffle said and shivered.
Sit behind me so the wind doesn't blow on you, Ver said.
Toffle shook her head and hugged Ver's arm tighter.
I'm afraid to move, she whispered. I don't like heights.
Ver blinked and turned his body while lifting Toffle into the air. She closed her eyes and screamed, but she stopped when something solid pressed against her back. Her eyes opened, giving her a view of Grimmie's wings and tail with the sky and ground visible behind them. She was sitting on Ver's lap, leaning against his body as he sheltered her from the wind. Toffle's face reddened as she squirmed.
I told your mom I wouldn't let anything happen to you, Ver said. I can't let you get cold.
Toffle let out a small sound as she lowered her head and hugged Ver's arm tighter, ceasing her struggles. The demon lord sneezed. Tears streamed from his eyes as the wind buffeted his face.
I hope Toffle's not too scared, he thought,
as he tried to readjust his body. His arms were pressed to his sides, and one of Grimmy's claws was uncomfortably close to his neck.
Quit squirming around or I might drop you, Grimmy said and snorted. Not that I'd mind.
Toffle watched as city after city, town after town, trees and mountain ranges, vast oceans of green and gold passed before her eyes. Water pooled in her eyes, and she smiled, sniffling as a tear ran down her cheek.
Are you crying? Ver asked. Is it still too cold?
Toffle shook her head and leaned her head on his shoulder as she turned to face him.
I'm happy, she said with a choked voice. Thanks for being my friend.
Ver's heart jumped as he stared into her purple eyes.
You're welcome, he said,
and turned his head away with red cheeks. Toffle blinked and then giggled. Preeka turned her head and grinned at the two children.
Doesn't that just make your heart warm, Snuffles?
She asked her sleeping flying companion. Snuffles continued to snore.
Don't worry, dear,
Vernon said to the sky-blue dragon who was pacing around inside the cave.
I'm sure they'll be back soon.
I'm going with them next time, Sarah said with her teeth bared. It shouldn't take more than a few hours to borrow books.
Maybe Ver's exploring. Grimmy and Preeka are with him. They wouldn't let him get hurt,
Vernon said. Sarah stopped pacing as her tail perked up. Her head whipped around towards the cave entrance.
They're back, she said,
and exhaled while spreading her wings. She flew out of the cave and into the green valley. Two specks in the sky grew larger while Sarah waited, sitting on her haunches. Layla and Vernon appeared next to Sarah, watching the incoming dragons with her. The first thing Preeka said when she landed was,
Ver kidnapped the princess.
The red dragon lowered her head and let Snuffles climb down.
He stole her heart, too.
Grimmy slowed his descent before landing heavily on his hind legs.
And father,
he added as he opened his claw, dropping the demon lord to the ground.
Oh, ground. I never realized how much I loved you,
the demon said as he collapsed onto his knees, tears falling from his eyes.
Please don't leave me again.
You two lovebirds can get off now, Preeka said.
Ver and Toffle were still holding each other. Toffle squirmed.
You should let go now,
she whispered with a red face.
I like sitting like this,
Ver said and yawned. Toffle lowered her head and stopped squirming, leaning against him instead.
What exactly happened?
Layla asked Grimmy as the black dragon crawled onto his stomach.
Ver wanted to play with Toffle and the demon didn't want her going alone, so he came too,
Grimmy replied as he yawned.
Isn't it bad if we remove the demon lord from the capital?
Layla asked, and frowned at the disheveled man kissing the earth.
Won't that be taken as a sign of aggression?
It's fine, it's fine. I didn't drop him,
Grimmy said, and closed his eyes. Layla sighed. Lindis was sleeping when a basilisk jumped onto her bed and hid underneath her blanket, shoving her onto the floor with its bulky body. Seconds later, a voice called out while she was rubbing her bleary eyes.
Auntie, the deaf man came to see you.
Lindis cursed at the shivering basilisk as she stood up and opened her closet. She took off her pajamas and slipped on a red robe before fixing her hair in the mirror hanging on the closet's door. She put on one of the many pairs of high heels laying around and walked up the stairs.
Why are they here? She asked
when she reached the top. Ver was holding Topple's hand, and the demon lord was standing behind the two with flowers in his hands.
He said he wanted to tell you something, so I brought him here,
Ver said, and tugged Topple's arm, bringing her towards the entrance.
Let's go play with the bats!
Did you miss me that much?
Lindis asked the demon lord while raising an eyebrow. Back at the capital, she had used a simple seduction skill. She thought it would have worn off by now.
No. It's just that I never got to properly introduce myself to you the last time we met,
the demon replied and bowed his head.
My name is Zolstok the Fifth, demon lord with a subclass of warrior.
Surely you didn't come all this way just to introduce yourself to me, Linda said. Did you want to drink from the fountain? I'm afraid it's running quite dry these days, so the price will be a lot higher than usual.
No, I wouldn't dare to drink from your precious fountain, Zolstok said as he offered her the flowers he was holding. Please accept this.
Lindis raised an eyebrow. This is a pitiful dowry if you're trying to marry your daughter off to Ver, she said as she received the flowers.
That's not what this is,
Zolstok said, his body stiffening. He cleared his throat.
This...
I'm just messing with you, Lindis whispered as she stepped closer and put a finger on his lips. The demon lord's eyes widened and rolled up, revealing their whites. He fell to the floor unconscious. Lindis channeled mana to her finger and placed it against his forehead. She stripped off his outer garments and dragged his body into a corner of the mini-boss room.
What are you doing to my dad? Tafel asked
as she watched from the entrance, hugging an exhausted bat to her chest. He was tired, so I decided to give him a nice dream, Lindis said with a smile.
Why'd you take his clothes off?
He said he was hot, Linda said. You two should go out and play.
But...
Ver pulled on Toffle's hand and shook his head.
He'll be fine, Ver whispered and pulled her away. We shouldn't bother Auntie right now. She's mad because we woke her up.
Linda smiled at the leaving children. Her expression darkened at the sight of the demon lord, who giggled in his sleep. I'm going back to bed, she thought, and walked away while shaking her head.
Oh, you're so naughty,
Zolstok said in his sleep as he hugged a rock. Tuffle's face paled as she hunched over while hugging her stomach. Her lips trembled as she resisted the urge to vomit. Ver was standing in front of the corpse of a behemoth bear, blood dripping from his hands. He turned around with a smile on his face, but his expression stiffened when he saw Tuffle's condition.
Are you okay?
He asked, while reaching towards her, a furrow in his brow. Tuffle fell over and scrambled backwards, dragging her clothes against the grass. She stared at Ver with wide eyes as her body shook. Ver took a step forward.
Don't touch me,
Tuffle yelled, as tears sprang to her eyes. She curled up into a ball and clutched her shoulders. Ver lowered his arm and tilted his head. He looked at his hands and remembered being scolded by Lindis for spreading blood everywhere. His eyes glowed with a golden light, and a stream of water materialized in front of him. He rinsed the blood off and crouched next to Tafel.
The blood's gone now, Ver said while raising his hands. See?
Tafel raised her head and bit her lip as she maintained eye contact. She didn't say anything.
What's wrong? Ver asked.
Tafel's lips trembled.
You're scary,
she whispered, and lowered her eyes. Ver's eyebrows knit together. He sat down next to her, leaving more space than usual.
I don't understand, he said. The elves said that, too.
Tafel shook her head and closed her eyes. The two sat unmoving. A rabbit hopped out of a bush and scampered past the bear's corpse.
Do you ever get scared?
Tafel asked, with her eyes still closed.
Sometimes, Ver said. Auntie's very scary if you wake her up.
A moment of silence passed. Tafel raised her head and looked at Ver.
Is that it?
Ver nodded.
Why are you scared of me?
When your eyes glowed and you killed the bear and smiled, you didn't seem like a person anymore,
Tafel said, looking away.
I thought you were going to eat me next.
Her body shivered as she balled up her hands inside her sleeves. She heard Ver stand up and flinched when his hand touched her head.
I would never hurt you, Ver said.
Tafel craned her neck and stared him in the eyes.
Promise?
Ver nodded.
Promise.
Zolstok groaned as his eyes fluttered open. Gray stalactites hung tens of meters above him. A breeze rolled over his body, causing him to shiver. He inspected his surroundings and found his discarded clothes hanging from nearby stalagmites.
It wasn't a dream, he thought as he stood up.
Lindis was sitting on a rocking chair in a corner, knitting a sweater. You should put some clothes on before the children get back, she said without looking up. She was wearing a purple robe, her light brown hair tied in a bun behind her head. Solstock stared for a second before nodding. He stumbled as he got dressed.
That was amazing, he said.
Linda smiled, but didn't say anything.
Was that a one-time thing, or...
Zolstock's voice trailed off. Linda laughed and placed her knitting needles down onto her lap.
You want to do it again already?
She asked, with a smile as her eyes twinkled.
The children will be back with food soon, you know.
Solstock laughed and scratched his nose. He stretched and winced after taking a few steps. Sweat beaded on his forehead as he clutched his groin and fell to the floor while panting.
Was I too rough?
Lindis asked with a chuckle. Solstock shook his head and took in a deep breath.
It's nothing,
he said and grimaced.
Then you should look forward to tonight,
Lindis said with a wink.
I hope it won't be too hard on you.
Auntie!
Burr's voice rang out from the entrance. We're back! Zolstock stood up and took controlled breaths before adjusting his posture. Burr walked in, holding Topple's hand with his left and the behemoth bear's hind leg with his right. Zolstock's mouth dropped open.
How is that going to fit on a table?
Burr looked at him, sighed, and shook his head.
Dragons don't use tables.
He moved the bear into the center of the mini-bossed room and sat down with Toffle taking a seat next to him. Solstock waddled over and winced as he sat down.
Are you okay?
Toffle asked her father. Solstock nodded while breathing in. Ver stabbed lust into the bear's side and sliced off a strip of meat and fur. He grabbed the blade of the dagger and offered the hilt to Toffle. Her hands trembled as she accepted it, before looking at her father. His eyes were closed, and labored breath escaped from his pale face. Toffle shrugged and tried to copy Ver's previous actions, but she couldn't break the bear's skin. Ver placed his hand over hers and guided her actions. Soon, Toffle also held a strip of bloody bear meat in her hands. It's so squishy, she thought. Her face paled while her mouth opened slightly.
Don't let the blood drip,
Ver said, as he lifted one end of the strip and stuck it into Topple's mouth before she could react. Her eyes widened, and she was about to spit it out, but she stopped when she realized it tasted sweet. Warmth flowed from her throat into her belly, causing her body to relax.
Tastes good, right?
Ver asked with a grin. Topple nodded and bit off a tiny piece of the meat.
It tastes really good, she said,
while chewing, not caring about manners, and swallowed the piece. Burr smiled and cut off another strip of meat. Zolstock fell over and twitched as his hands clenched into fists.
I don't think your dad is okay, Burr said,
and poked the demon lord with a dagger, trying to bring about a reaction.
Should I heal him?
Zolstock whimpered.
Please.
No, Linda said, as she stepped over the demon lord's body. He said it was nothing. You shouldn't heal him, or else it'll hurt his pride as a man. Linda smiled as she tore off one of the bear's legs and brought it to the basilisk in the other room. Ver shrugged and continued to eat.
Sorry, Dad, Toffle said, as she brought the rest of her food to her mouth. I don't know any healing spells.
Tears rolled down the demon lord's face. Mina sat across from her mother, a table with a tea set separating the two. Her mother looked identical to her, but wrinkles framed the older woman's face and hands.
It's been such a long time, Mina.
Mina smiled.
I'm sorry I haven't come to visit often, Mother, she said. I've been busy recently.
Her mother grunted.
The Lord left with the dragons? She asked. Everyone's been talking about it. Rumors say he angered one of them and was kidnapped. A few people say they saw him dangling from its claws.
Mina's lips twisted into a smile. Well, he was taken by the dragons of his own volition, she said, as she picked up a steaming teacup. just not in the manner he wished to travel.
"Aren't you worried something will happen to him?" her mother asked and sipped her tea.
Mina shook her head. "I'm more concerned about what I found in his room." Her mother placed the teacup down and furrowed her brow.
"Some things are better left unsaid," she said, staring at her daughter. "He's the Demon Lord, Mina."
Mina fidgeted in her seat. Her fingers turned white as she gripped her cup and took a sip.
"I know. I'm just worried for Toffel."
13. Sarah and Preeka lay in the valley, facing each other on their bellies. Between them, a rectangular platform with a chessboard pattern had multiple golems standing on top of it. Preeka nudged one of the golems with her claw, urging it forwards.
"Eh?"
Sarah tilted her head.
"That's allowed."
"I just did it, didn't I?"
Preeka asked in return.
"I'm going to have to ask that little cursed elf for a rule book," Sarah said,
as she swatted the golem closest to the advancing golem. Her head turned when Ver and Toffel came out of a nearby cave, their faces smudged with dirt.
"Mama, can I imprint Toffel?" Ver asked.
"What? Ew, no, that's gross," Preeka said. "She'd be like your daughter then. Let me do it."
Sarah glared at Preeka.
"I thought we agreed it was best not to imprint non-dragons."
"Yeah, but I want kids too. I don't even have a mate," Preeka said while frowning.
"Why does Toffel want to be imprinted?" Sarah asked.
"I want to be strong like Ver," Toffel said with her head lowered. She still couldn't stare any of the dragons in the eyes. "So he doesn't have to always protect me when we play. And if I get stronger, then I won't have to listen to my parents."
"Good enough for me,"
Preeka said, and approached Toffel, abandoning the game of golem chess. Sarah put her claw on Preeka's snout and pulled the red dragon back.
"What will the elves think if we imprint a demon?" Sarah asked. "What will the humans think? There's a very delicate balance that has to be maintained."
Preeka pushed Sarah's claw away.
"You imprinted Ver," she said. "Who cares what anyone else thinks?"
"Ver's not an heir to a throne. Toffel can be," Sarah said. "Don't forget what my father said about angering the humans."
Vernon and Grimmy coughed from within their caves. Preeka rolled her eyes.
"Fine, I get what you're saying," she said,
and turned to Toffel.
"Sorry, Squirt."
Toffel shook her head and waved her hands in front of herself.
"That's okay," she said. "I can get stronger on my own." "Just because you can't get a dragon to imprint you doesn't mean other beasts won't," Preeka said. "Why not a behemoth bear?"
She licked her lips.
"I can convince one for you."
"My teacher told me that you can only get imprinted once," Toffel said, and lowered her head.
"I want it to be like Ver."
Her face turned beet red as she clutched the edge of her woolen sweater.
"Oh,"
Grimmy said, popping his head out of his cave with a grin.
"You know he can still make normal babies, right? There's no need for a dragon imprint."
Layla nudged him.
"Hush, they're not even six yet."
"Eh? Don't tell me you two don't know how babies are made,"
Grimmy said towards the children. The two shook their heads. Vernon coughed and emerged from his cave.
"Well, you see,"
the golden dragon said as he scratched his chin,
"when a boy and a girl love each other very much, they form a connection. When they eat together, talk to each other, live in the same cave together, hold hands with each other, that connection grows stronger. When the connection reaches a certain level,"
Sarah smacked him.
"You'll make the children stupid."
Vernon sighed and rubbed his snout.
"So I can't imprint Toffel?"
Ver asked. Sarah shook her head.
"It's best if you didn't."
Ver frowned, but Toffel tugged his hand.
"It's okay," she said. "I'm happy enough that you asked for me. Let's go play in the forest, okay?"
"Okay,"
Ver nodded. The two turned and left the valley. Preeka stared at their backs and sighed. The two children stood next to a bananary bush. It was a green bush, shaped like a ball, with large fern-like leaves. Banana-shaped berries hung from the branches of the bush, hence its name.
"I told you I could find some," Burr said and pointed.
"They're so tiny,"
Toffle said with her eyes wide. But she wasn't referring to the fruit.
"Hey, just because we're tiny, it doesn't mean we don't have ears."
A trio of fairies were hovering around the bush, picking bananaries. The fairies had purple horns similar to Toffle's. They sprouted from their temples and curved around their heads. They were all 1 foot tall and wore leaves as gowns. 4 dragonfly-like wings grew from their backs. The only difference between the three were their eye and hair colors, which were red, blue, and yellow.
"Isn't that a demon?"
the one with red eyes asked.
"It looks like a demon,"
the blue-eyed one said. The one with yellow eyes nodded.
"Hello, my name is Toffle, daughter of the Demon Lord,"
Toffle said, while curtsying with her shirt.
"What are your names?"
"Daughter of the Demon Lord, maybe we shouldn't talk. I'm Bella,"
the blue-eyed fairy said, interrupting the red-eyed one. She pointed at her peeved sister.
"She's Rella." "And I'm Yella,"
the yellow-eyed one finished. Rella crossed her arms and puffed her cheeks out.
"Don't be like that,"
Bella said to Rella. Rella stuck her tongue out.
"Why would the Demon Lord's daughter be here in our land?"
she asked.
"I think she's lying."
Rella flew up to Toffle's nose and sneezed on her. Toffle flinched and rubbed her eyes.
"Did she just sneeze on me?"
Toffle asked Vur in a high-pitched voice. Vur nodded.
"I think that means she likes you."
Yella sighed.
"It's the naive dragon boy, too,"
she said, and clicked her tongue while shaking her head.
"She cursed you,"
Bella said and giggled.
"Now you can only tell the truth and only the truth for 1 month. No more and no less."
"What? You shouldn't curse someone when you first meet them,"
Toffle said and pouted.
"That's not very nice."
"Fairies aren't nice people,"
Rella said and nodded.
"Now tell us who you really are."
"I'm Toffle, daughter of the Demon Lord,"
Toffle said. Her eyes widened and she put her hands over her mouth.
"Is she really cursed?"
Vur asked.
"Yes,"
Toffle said in a muffled voice. The trio of fairies nodded. Vur frowned.
"Dispel,"
he said, while waving his arm in front of Toffle's body.
"Did it work?"
"No,"
Toffle said, with her hands still over her mouth. Rella giggled.
"You can't dispel a fairy's curse that easily,"
she said, and stuck her chest out.
"Yep, we can't dispel it either,"
Bella said while nodding.
"I guess she really was the Demon Lord's daughter. Sorry about that. We'll be going now."
Bella waved.
"Wait, you can't just curse me and leave." "Actually, you can. You shouldn't curse me and leave,"
Toffle said while interrupting herself. Rella stuck her tongue out at Toffle.
"You can blame yourself for being a demon. I'm glad I could make at least one of you honest,"
she said, and turned to leave. Toffle faced Vur with an aggrieved expression. Her eyes glowed, and the fairy trio, who were about to fly away, found themselves pinned to the bananary bush.
"Hey, gravity magic's not fair,"
Bella said, and pouted as she flapped her wings to no avail.
"That's cheating,"
Rella said.
"Why don't you like demons?"
Toffle asked Rella.
"You're all liars,"
Rella said, and crossed her arms while looking away.
"Demons tricked us out of our cave and imprisoned our queen," Yella said. "We had to give up our home and our stuff."
The yellow-haired fairy pouted.
"I miss my slime bath,"
Bella said and sighed. "I miss my kitchen. I miss my bathroom."
The three fairies sat down and cried.
"Huh? Don't cry,"
Toffle said.
"I'm sorry. Please stop."
Toffle bit her lower lip and tugged Vur's hand. His eyes stopped glowing, and the fairies stopped sobbing, exchanging glances with each other. Tuffle opened her mouth to speak.
It was nice meeting you, but we hope to never see you again. Bye!
The fairies flew away before she could say anything. Fur and Tuffle stood there for a moment, Tuffle's mouth still partially open.
Fairies are weird, Fur said,
as he shrugged and picked a handful of bananaries. He held one out to Tuffle.
Want one?
Yes, I do. And I want you to feed it to me, Tuffle said.
Her face turned red as she covered her mouth while turning away.
Stupid, stupid curse!
Burr appeared in front of her with a berry and smiled.
Say ah!
Tuffle's cheeks burned as she ate the berry.
No more questions, please, okay?
Do you?
Tuffle covered Burr's mouth with her hands.
Okay,
she asked again while smiling. An image of Linda's smile appeared in Burr's head. He nodded.
We finally reached level 15, Lamarck said as he sat down.
A slime, which he just stabbed, bubbled and dissolved into a layer of white powder.
Let's ask Doofus if we can go deeper, Gabriel said.
The two were killing slimes in the mana source located in Niffle. After the undead cavalry began their purge, the students had returned to grinding away in the slime dungeon. The two went up to their teacher and asked if they could go deeper. Doofus nodded.
Be careful. The next types of monsters are dangerous metal elementals. Don't go past the second room, he said. I'll be keeping watch on you two.
Gabriel and Lamarck smiled at each other. The two puffed their chests out and tilted their chins up as they passed their classmates who were still killing slimes. Gabriel equipped his Morningstar mace, while Lamarck readied his lance. They walked through a corridor and arrived at a cave with a few other adventurers in it. Ringing sounds rang out as metal clashed against metal. Gabriel stopped walking as his mace fell out of his hand. His mouth fell open as he turned his head towards his brother.
Is that a floating spoon?
Lamarck asked.
There's a floating fork over there, too, Gabriel said. Instructor Doofus did warn us about dangerous metal elementals, Lamarck said. But utensils? What's next, chamber pots?
Gabriel picked up his morning star.
Don't jinx it,
he said, and sighed. He raised his arm and thwacked the spoon.
You were cursed by fairies?
Zolstock asked his daughter. He was sitting in front of a bear corpse with Vur and Tuffle.
Yes, father,
Tuffle said, unwilling to make eye contact. Zolstock sighed.
What's your mother going to think? I can't have you go back to her like this.
She'd probably blame you for not watching over me, Tuffle said, as Vur cut out a piece of bear.
It's not my fault the fairies cursed you,
Zolstock said while adjusting his pants.
No, it's not your fault,
Tuffle said and covered her mouth. You just stayed in the cave all day with Auntie. Vur blinked at Zolstock.
Your pants are on backwards.
The demon lord looked down.
No, they're not,
he said.
This is how I always wear them. You're imagining things.
He's lying,
Tuffle said with her voice muffled by her hands.
I really can't take her home like this, Zolstock thought. We should go back soon or your mother will be worried sick, he said. Do you want to go back?
No, I don't want to go back. Mom and Prim are too strict,
Tuffle said, and lowered her head.
I hate learning how to act like a lady, and I have no friends there. I want to stay here with Fur.
Her eyes glistened as tears leaked from the corners of her eyes. Zolstock rubbed his chin.
All right, then, he said and nodded. You can stay, for now.
Tuffle looked up with wide eyes.
Really?
He nodded again.
Your mother's going to be furious at me,
he said and smiled.
But I think it'll be worth it to let you gain experience and grow.
Thank you!
Tuffle squealed and tackled her dad with a bear hug.
I won't tell her about the adult things you do with Auntie.
Zolstock winced and groaned as his face blanched.
You're welcome, he whispered back.
You did what?
Mina screeched. Zolstock hung his head with his eyes closed. Some fights weren't meant to be won. This was one of them.
It was your idea to let her go. Now you don't even bring her back? Does she mean nothing to you? Do my words mean nothing to you?
Mina's horns pulsed red as her hair rippled in the air. She glared at her husband, who refused to say a single word while she yelled at him. She'd received reports that her husband returned without Toffel and went to the clinic before coming to see her.
"Please calm down," Zolstock said with his head still lowered. "I can explain."
"I'm waiting,"
Mina said, with her arms crossed over her chest. Her hair stopped rippling, but her horns still glowed red. Zolstock looked up.
"The resources in the wilderness are a lot greater than they are here. She can eat magical beast meat for breakfast and drink from the Fountain of Youth when she's thirsty. She can even find a beast to imprint her. Given enough time, she'll be one of the strongest leaders we've ever had."
"I don't care about that," Mina said. "You could have brought her back and explained it. Did you even see how Ver acted? What if Toffel becomes as wild as him? Did you even think about that when you abandoned her in the forest?"
"But
Toffel doesn't even need to be strong," Mina said. "I don't know why you insist on molding her into a combat freak. If you brought Gabriel or Lamach there, then I wouldn't mind as much. But Toffel?"
"She has so much potential," Zolstock said. "We shouldn't stifle that just because she's a girl."
"Potential to do what? Run off and get herself killed?" Mina asked. "Aren't we in the process of making peace with the humans? There was no need for her to become strong before, and there's even less of a reason now."
"But weren't you an adventurer before?" Zolstock asked. "Shouldn't you know why she needs to become stronger?"
Mina's horns stopped glowing as she glowered at him. "It's because I was an adventurer that I know she shouldn't live that kind of life," she said.
"Toffel is not going to be an adventurer."
Mina slammed the door to the bedroom, leaving Zolstock in the hall. The demon lord stared at the door inside.
"I knew I should have brought her flowers and chocolate. Well, that wasn't so bad. That could have gone a lot worse."
The door flew open.
"I forgot to ask,"
Mina said with her horns glowing.
"When is she coming back?"
I don't know,"
Zolstock said in a questioning tone.
Wait!
He waved his hands in front of his body as Mina stepped closer to him, her fist glowing red. Mina's mother was pouring tea when her house shook. She stood up and walked to the window, opening the shutters. There was a hole with smoke pouring out of it on the top floor of the Demon Lord's castle. She shook her head and went back to her seat. "Oh, dear," she thought, and sipped her tea. "I did warn him about her temper when he proposed."
14.
"The dragons are back, my lord."
Zolstock raised his head and placed his quill down. He was doing paperwork in one of the unoccupied storage rooms. For the past month, he had avoided Mina for the sake of the castle's integrity. It would have been a problem if the populace knew, but they didn't. A smile appeared on the demon lord's face. How strong would Toffel be after spending a month with dragons? He straightened his clothes and clapped the sentry on the shoulders and said,
"Take me to them."
Toffel and Ver were sitting on Prika's head. Ver wore black leather pants with lust sheathed on his belt, while Toffel wore brown leather pants and boots. She was also wearing a white woolen sweater with the image of a bat knit on the center, courtesy of Lindis. In the past month, a third pair of horns had sprouted from her temples. They grew towards the back of her head, but curved downwards once they passed her ears, unlike the other pairs. Toffel and Ver held each other's hands and chatted as Zolstock and Mina came towards the capital's gate from opposite directions.
"Toffel," Mina said, "I'm glad you're okay. Come here and give your mother a hug."
Her arms opened, waiting for her child to climb off the towering red dragon. Toffel shook her head and hugged Ver's arm.
"I don't want to go home," she said.
Mina's face cramped as Zolstock panicked. "Is the curse still not gone?"
"Don't say that, dear,"
he said with a smile.
"Your mother missed you very much. Come and give us a hug. Then you can tell us about everything that happened."
You won't listen to me, Toffle said, and hugged Ver tighter. You never do. It's always, Toffle do this or Toffle do that. I never get to do what I want.
Tears leaked from her eyes as she sniffled. Mina glared at Zolstock, her horns pulsing with a bright red glow. The demon lord avoided her gaze and cleared his throat. He pointed at the ground and said,
Toffle, come here, right now.
Toffle shook her head and buried her face into Ver's shoulder. Her body shook as she sobbed. Ver patted Toffle's back and turned his head toward Sarah.
Mama, Toffle doesn't really have to leave, right? Ver asked.
Smoke rose out of Sarah's nostrils as she sighed.
She has to. We can't keep the princess of a nation.
Grimmy grinned.
You know, she won't be the princess of a nation if the nation's gone, he said.
His eyes flickered to the two demons by the gate. They paled and retreated backwards.
Grimmy!
Layla said and tugged her mate's wing.
Don't even joke about things like that in front of them.
Grimmy laughed at the two rulers.
I'm only playing around,
he said, while swishing his tail.
You have such a nice-looking city. It'd be a real shame if something were to happen to it.
He yawned and smiled, showing off his teeth.
Is that really necessary? Vernon asked Grimmy. Of course. I'm just reminding them of their place in the food chain, lest they get any stupid ideas,
Grimmy said. Smoke puffed out of his nostrils, jetting towards the demons.
Uniting with the humans and building a garrison on the borders of our forest? If it weren't for the Patriarch's orders.
His expression darkened.
Just give me a reason to go to war.
Zolstock and Mina fell to their knees and lowered their heads.
We would never think to do something that audacious. The garrison is only there to protect our lands from the undead, Zolstock said.
A bead of sweat rolled down his back.
Thank you for taking care of our daughter for the past month.
Grimmy's gaze lingered on the two. When they thought they couldn't stand it anymore, Grimmy snorted and turned away. Preeka lowered her head until Ver and Toffle were level with the city wall. Ver and Toffle didn't move. Go on, Preeka said, and tilted her head towards the wall. Ver hugged Toffle and turned toward Sarah. She nodded once. Ver lifted Toffle and walked onto the city wall.
Let's go to the library, okay?
He asked. Toffle clutched his shoulders tighter. He jumped off the wall, causing a nearby civilian to scream, and headed towards the center of the city. Mina took in a deep breath and raised her head.
As a reward for taking care of our daughter, feel free to take as many books from the royal library as you want, Mina said.
Zolstock's brow furrowed. He hadn't agreed to this.
But once you're done, please, never come back, she said. The citizens are scared every time they see a dragon outside the city and our productivity drops. Further visits after this one will be treated as an act of aggression.
Her body was trembling, but she maintained eye contact with Sarah without flinching. Zolstock held his breath as Sarah raised an eyebrow.
From one mother to another, Mina said,
and lowered her head.
Please.
She closed her eyes and waited. Sarah stared at her for a moment before nodding.
I understand, she said, as her tail swished. And will Ver be allowed inside the city?
Currently, only nobility or highly ranked human adventurers on a mission are allowed in the border towns of our lands, Mina said,
keeping her head lowered.
And these are just tentative steps towards peace. It is highly unlikely for any low-status human to step foot in our capital in the foreseeable future.
Preeka sighed.
Poor Ver, she said.
She added after a thought,
and Toffle.
Sarah turned her head towards Preeka.
We're not going to spill blood for the sake of a rebellious demon child.
Preeka nodded and sighed again.
I know,
she said, and shrugged, breaking off a piece of the capital's wall by accident.
It's still sad, though.
The sun was setting, the sky bathed in red. Five dragons lazed about in the field outside the capital, a decent distance away from the walls, with Ver standing on Sarah's head. Each dragon had a large leather bag filled with books. Zolstok and Mina stood at the top of the capital's walls, their hands on either of Toffel's shoulders.
Ver,
Layla said as she sat up.
We're not going to come back for a long time.
Ver blinked.
What? Why not?
We're not welcome here anymore, Layla said. Dragons shouldn't mix with demons.
But what about Toffel? Ver asked. She's my friend.
Layla shook her head.
I'm sorry,
Sarah said as she spread her wings. Ver jumped off of Sarah's head, but Preeka caught him with her claws.
Let me go,
he said and squirmed. His eyes glowed with a golden light. The air around him fluctuated for an instant, but in the next second, his eyes closed and the ripples died down.
Sorry, Ver, Grimmy said after casting a sleep spell. Can't let you wreck the town, even if I want to also.
Sarah nodded at Mina. The demon said something to Toffel. Toffel stared up at Mina, and then looked at Ver with wide eyes. She tried to run forwards, but the hands on her shoulders prevented her from going very far. She opened her mouth and shouted, but the dragons were too far away to hear what she said. Toffel fell to her knees and cried. Zolstok tried to rub her back, but she knocked his arm away with her elbow and continued to sob. The figures of the dragons became smaller and smaller, until only 5 black specks could be seen in the sky.
Why can't I play with Toffel anymore?
Ver asked Sarah. The 5 dragons were grouped up in their valley. Vernon and Sarah were sunbathing next to each other. Layla and Preeka were playing golem chess. Grimmy was chatting with Lindis, who was knitting and using his wing as shade.
The demons don't like us, Sarah said, as she scratched Snuffle's exposed belly. They're scared of what we can do. It makes them jumpy when we visit them.
But they should be scared, right? Ver asked. We're dragons. Does it matter what they want?
Sarah sighed. Dragons aren't invincible, Ver. If the demons really had to, they would be able to kill some of us. But they'd lose too much. We'd win the fight and wipe them all out. But none of us,
Sarah lifted her head and gestured towards the dragons,
want to see each other die. The demons don't bother us, so we don't bother them.
Ver pouted.
Are they really that strong?
Grimmy nodded.
I remember when the humans first invaded. They were pretty strong. They could kill behemoth bears and force elves back. They even managed to take over the Fairy Queen's cave. But honestly, no one really cared about that, since fairies are annoying. The demons might seem weak now, but that's only because the strongest ones go somewhere else after a few adventures in the wilderness.
Grimmy's right. I've seen many adventurers come from my Fountain of Youth, Linda said. Sometimes the same adventurers come back after many years, stronger than before. They tell me stories in exchange for drinks. There's a man named Karen who's visited me 8 times already. The world's a lot bigger than you think.
Ver lowered his head.
I want to see Toffel.
Toffel's a princess, Linda said. Princesses rarely associate with nobles, much less commoners. She's the future of the country, even if she doesn't become the Demon Lord. Political marriages to unite factions are pretty common amongst the demons and humans. If I'm not mistaken, the current Demon Lord is in a political marriage with his wife.
Wouldn't marrying Toffel to Ver be good for them, then?
Preeka asked, turning away from her game.
Peace with the dragons would...
Actually, never mind. We don't bother them too much anyway.
Lindis nodded.
The humans wouldn't approve of the demons allying with us. They'd declare war. You, she gestured towards the dragons, probably wouldn't fly out to help fight against them.
No offense, Linda said.
So it's actually a loss to marry Toffel to Ver, instead of using her to keep the nobles in check. And you can imagine the outrage of their people if they marry her to a human.
But Toffel's going to marry me, Ver said with a frown. We promised.
Oh, Preeka said. You sure work fast. Feeling jealous over there? Preeka smirked at Lindis.
Shut up, Lindis said, and threw a lightning bolt at Preeka.
The red dragon swatted it away with her paw and laughed.
"When did you get so brave?"
she asked and sighed. "I miss the days when you would tremble in your boots when you saw me." Linda shrugged. "Well, I guess it's okay. You're more like Ver's older sister than his wife," Prika said. "It's a shame. A real shame. You two would have made some cute babies." Lindis threw another lightning bolt at Prika.
"If you want to marry Toffle," Lindis said, turning towards Ver, "you'll have to become a noble."
"How do I do that?"
"It's simple. Get the human king's attention and have him bestow you a title," she said, and paused. "Good attention, not the I burned down your city kind of attention. Becoming an SSS-ranked adventurer will probably do it."
"That sounds easy," Ver said.
"That's because that's the easy part," Linda said. "The hard part is learning the etiquette of the nobles, and you might have to unite the humans and the demons, but the former is definitely harder for you."
Ver frowned and tilted his head. "Don't worry. It'll be easy to find you a teacher."
"The undead are approaching."
Gale dropped his book and stiffened before retrieving his equipment from the corner of his Spartan room. He donned his mithril robe and equipped his staff, stepping outside while putting on his hat. Outside of his lodgings, human paladins and white mages, demon knights and black mages, were rushing into the courtyard in front of the wooden gate.
"Let them approach the walls and have the white mages rain purification down on them when they're close enough," Dustin said, "and have archers with silver and mithril-tipped arrows at the ready."
The stone buildings in the small garrison shook as the ground trembled.
"They're almost here,"
an archer in one of the two watchtowers said. Gale climbed up the steps of the wall, heading towards Dustin's position.
"What do you think?"
Gale asked, looking over the edge of the wall.
"It's going to be a long battle. The undead don't get tired or hungry. They could wait us out for weeks and strike when we're exhausted if we don't receive reinforcements,"
Dustin said with a grimace. Thousands of skeletons and undead horses appeared over the horizon.
"We only have so much mana that can be used a day."
The ground stopped trembling as the undead cavalry halted and formed a neat 200-by-100 rectangle just outside of the shooting range of the archers and mages in the garrison. The sole undead rider leading the formation stepped forward and pointed at Dustin and Gale with his sword.
"A duel!"
the undead leader shouted. Its voice sounded like rocks grinding against each other.
"Send your most noble human. If he wins, we'll leave."
"You expect us to believe that?"
Dustin asked. A demon mage amplified his voice with magic. The undead leader nodded.
"You have no choice," it said,
and waved at the army of 20,000 knights behind it. Gale's face paled at the sea of black knights. He couldn't even see the ground beneath their feet.
"I'll go."
A knight wearing full mithril plate mail stepped to the front of the courtyard.
"Open the gates."
Gale exchanged glances with Dustin. The demon adventurer nodded.
"There's no other way,"
Dustin said, and gestured to the men near the gates. They opened the gates a tiny bit. The undead cavalry didn't move. After they confirmed the undead weren't going to attack, the gates swung wide open. The blue knight stepped into the field with a morning star mace and kite shield. He advanced towards the formation as the gates closed behind him. The undead leader dismounted and waited for the knight to approach, sword lowered.
"State your name and title."
"My name is Opfern. I am the Baron of Blod," the knight said, as he raised his morning star towards the sky.
The undead leader rubbed his chin and nodded.
"All right. A baron will do. I surrender. You win," it said. "Get him, boys."
"Huh?"
Opfern's mouth fell open. The undead cavalry charged forward, swallowing the blue knight inside the mass.
"As per our agreement, we'll be leaving now,"
the undead knight said while cackling.
"Those cowards!"
Gale shouted.
"Fire the arrows!"
A wave of arrows flew towards the mass, but the undead cavalry turned around and retreated before the arrows reached them. A cloud of dust flew into the air as they galloped away.
The men in the garrison stood in silence as the undead knights disappeared over the horizon. A voice broke the silence. Did that really just happen? 15.
Tuffles,